Yo, you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Visky,
yo,
bro,
baby.
Me Ghost Podcast. And today, we got a little episode for y'all. We got a little something. So, New York Nightmare. Could the spirit of Reggie Miller be in the building? Yeah, could the spirit of Reggie Miller be among us? The Pacers knocking off the Knicks. The Dodgers, is this working over there in L.A.? Got swept by the Angels. How does this look? WrestleMania going back to Vegas. Y'all taking it from New Orleans? Y'all taking it from us?
Tisk.
Tisk.
I got a boo.
And, yeah, this horrible. And are you okay with your star NFL players playing flag football in the Olympics? And we're going to talk all of that today, Bro Migos Podcast. What we got to do, Rob?
We're going to hit that music.
Guys, to start off this episode, we've all been locked in.
Ooh, have we?
The NBA playoffs, they in full swing. Mm-hmm. They in full swing. The Knicks, choke job. Just two hands up. Just killing them. And then again, losing. Again, back to back. Both games in their house.
Mm. Boy, it was quiet. Well, it was quiet in MSG. Both times, it was just like, boy, you would have thought like a whole motherfucking heart attack was happening right then and there. Like wouldn't it say like an angel flying over? Woo!
Yes. You know what, Rob? Before we go in, Jarvis, how you feel? Because you've been pulling for the Pacers, Jarvis.
You sure have.
Well, how do you feel? You've been pulling for the Pacers, even though you're a Laker fan. Let's just throw that one out there.
Hey, I'm a Laker fan, but I Reggie Miller got me into the NBA. So
I'm sorry to hear about that.
As the long believer of the Bro Migos podcast in the Indiana Pacers,
yeah, sure
my boy Tyrese Halliburton, boy, you know what? I mean, I'm not surprised. They might be surprised. But when you know, when you got the tunnel vision to see what's really there, ain't no surprise. You see how them boys push the ball up and down the floor. Nicholas Tide. They will out of there. And that's the Pacers taking it to their advantage. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm ready to put them away. Let's move on.
You think that they gonna do to them what they did to Cleveland?
Mm. Possible, yeah. Knicks might not get one.
Ooh.
You might be right.
You might be right.
Cause it's so bad. Like, this Pacers team, I am at a loss here. This man is a Pacers lover right now. I'm a Pacers hater for life. I do not like this team. On the reverse of basically how the Pacers brought him, or Major Reggie Miller brought him in the NBA, my pappy, my daddy passed down Reggie Miller hate from himself to me. Like that was passed down. And I hope to pass it down to my kids, like male pattern baldness. But like, this is something that I cannot stand. The Pacers absolutely are good, and they've been shaking down every single team in the playoffs. Whether you talk about the Knicks, when you talk about the Cavaliers, they have basically been pushing these teams out. They have been the Bucks. They've been putting nails into these coffins one by one, hammer down by hammer down, or down, like boy, he's saying, like Pat McAfee. Shout out to that show. But like, this is a team that is really coming at the Knicks, and Knicks have nothing for it. Like, Brunson's been doing his damnedest to basically make this team good. Cat's been doing his damnedest to make this team good. Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart. Well, Josh Hart actually been not doing as great as he could be. But like, Big Bride, all these players have been doing their damnedest, but the Pacers have been unyielding. Neesmith, Halliburton, the snow skier. Like, that man is big. Like, this whole team, Miles Turner, hasn't really been going off as much as he could. Like, this team is finals ready. And this is something that I cannot stand. I cannot stand the fact that I want Pacers Thunder in the finals. I want this matchup more than anything. I want these two teams to play each other. Thunder have been doing absolutely phenomenal. Pacers have been doing absolutely phenomenal. I want them motherfuckers to collide. I need this now more than anything, dog. Like, and that's I can't stand that I feel that way. I really do. I cannot feel. I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself. I really don't. But this team is too damn good right now. And the Knicks, Cancun awaits, to be honest with you. It very much could be a sweep.
Knicks, that man said, Cancun awaits.
Tulum!
I can't wait to hear what Nate's opinion is on this.
Yeah, so, go ahead, bro.
I give you this. Your pace is showing up. Your pace is showing up. Kyrie showed up the first game. Spicy P was looking extra spicy last night, went for 39. This is very true. On the other side of the ball, I don't know what they can do. I know what they can do. It's if they can do it. But I'm going to say this. I give you Pacers props to a certain extent. But I have to say, these have been... The Knicks are showing their incompetence right now. It is happening. Coaching, they are failing you. Coaches, look, coach, you are failing the Knicks, right? From the beginning of the season, it's been talked about multiple times about rotation, preservation of players, keep them kind of healthy for the postseason, get some minutes up off of them. You made a switch last night. You tried to get rebounds. You put Mitchell Robinson in. You know that they're going to file his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they gonna foul him. They love to foul Mitchell Robinson. I think ever since he did that free throw celebration after he hit them two free throws, I think that karma has had it out for him since then.
All right, we're gonna put him on the line. Put him on the line.
Yeah, we're gonna put him on the line and we're gonna make him suffer. As great as a series that I thought this could be, it comes down to tomorrow. They stole both games in the Knicks' house. Now you gotta go to their house and open up their fridge and make a sandwich right now and get comfortable, because that's the only way you gonna win. They have to steal both games back in Indiana and go back to New York and win. They have to win the next three in a row.
Yep,
they have to.
They have to.
Yeah,
because they can't let this team come back. They really can't.
Me and Rob were talking about the statistic. The statistic is 76-6 whenever the 2-0 team is up, going somewhere. The series are 76-6 to the team that goes up 2-0. Mm-hmm. That means it's only been six teams make it out after going down 0-2. That's it. So, with that being said, it needs to happen. I don't know if Cat is going to have a huge game. I think Cat is going to have a very... He's going to have to play like he played in that closeout game for Boston.
Mm.
He has to play like that. He has to be aggressive. He has to get boards. He has to be that version of himself.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any other version of him that he could be, bro.
He has to be aggressive. Brunson, they got to go at these dudes. Somebody else going to have to step up for that Knicks team, too. Whether it's Josh Hart, whether it's McBride, whether it's, you know, Ananobi, like whoever else, somebody's going to have to basically, because because when you see on the Pacers side, you got Neesmith that's basically coming up. You got Nembhard. You got Pascal Siakam absolutely murdered them last night. Absolutely. And even I remember Obi on the post.
In his part.
Yeah, yeah. Like Obi Top, the former Nick, the Nick draftee, like, he's been like, they have to basically take it. They have to basically say, we will not go away and we will basically take your best. You took your best shot at home and we failed a little bit. But here we are to give you ours and we're not going to basically go away. They have to win. Like you said, Nate, all three, like the next three games.
This is my two players that's slipping. Nah, it's going to have to be more than just Cat. The two players who are not holding their weight. But one of them started last night, but Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart. Especially Josh Hart. You can get 6 and 8 points. That's not going to cut.
Yeah.
Now, Mikal Bridges, he was doing his part last night. He was trying. He was getting active in there. He was being a part of the game. But Josh Hart, even if it's not him, somebody going to have to step in that role and play and make a difference. Because right now, I feel like he's just out there.
Mm. Oh, he's definitely just. But the thing is, I feel like he's limited himself offensive wise because he's never been a huge offensive threat. I've watched nights where everybody else except him has 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have boards and assists and this and that, but he's not a super offensive threat, or at least a credible enough one to say, he's a consistent 12, 15 a night. We know we're going to get 12, 15 from Josh every night. And that's hard. That's hard to deal with. It says he averages 13 a night. But in this series, he's had 8. He's had 6. He played 44 minutes in the first game. That's with the OT. He had 8 points, a steal, 7 assists, 13 rebounds. Okay? And then game 2, 6 points, steal, a block, an assist, 6 rebounds, 29 minutes. He's going to have to figure out where to contribute. But I truly believe Cat is going to have to be the line. He's going to have to be the line. Yeah. He has to be the line to make this decision. I think if you can get a monster game out of him on the boards, because he can clearly score against him, and let him do his thing, and he can come out here, and they have to stop the Pacers' pace.
Yes.
Stop their pace.
Yes.
Make them play half-court basketball against you more often. Do not let them push up and down the court. Do not let them run out. Don't let them do all of that other stuff. Don't let them get in the rhythm. Pascal Siakam slept on them.
To that point about slowing down the pace. Like, Craig, they need to slow down the paces. But also, what I see in their gameplay, that puts a negative on their gameplay, too. It looks like they like to run. You know, they like to go fast pace, too. But it's kind of hard when that other team is a little bit better at that fast pace basketball. Mm-hmm. They got to learn how to play half court and score at half court. Because if you keep the paces off the fast break and always playing fast and make them play half court, they hurt. But you can't hurt too. You gotta, you know, you gotta take advantage of that. And that's what they lack. And when they do slow it down, they don't take advantage. And that's how the paces stay afloat until they speed it back up.
That's why the ball has to go in the cap. He has to be in there dominating. He has to hit those turnaround shots. He has to face up. He has to take the one-on-one. He has to help control the pace of this game. He doesn't help control the pace of this game. They don't have a shot. Brunson is Brunson. He's been immaculate. He's out there. He's going. He's doing his version of what Donovan Mitchell was doing. I'm going to give you everything I got every night. We just got to figure out how to win. And whether they win or not, it's like, I don't know, it's up in the air. But this series, Sunday's going to tell the tale. Sunday is going to tell the tale. And it's going to be sink or swim. It's sink or swim on Sunday. And I look, hey, Knicks fans, it's one thing I can tell y'all. Reggie Miller ain't dead, but I'll be damned if it ain't almost like dealing with him on that court right now. Because Tyrese Halliburton is giving you every bit of Reggie Miller that you don't want to deal with right now.
That man wants the spotlight so damn bad. He earns it. Like, y'all seen the clips where basically, you know, going back to when both of them were, him and Brunson was in the ring. Like, that man wants, is a wrestler personified. He wants every bit of whatever smoke we talking about. And that's the cool shit about all of this. Like, he wants this. Like, as much as we talk about Anthony Edwards or anybody else, he wants this. And his daddy weird too. And, like, that's all of that together. All of that together. Like, this is great for the NBA. Like, everybody's been talking about who's the next. Who's the next star? Who we gonna root against next? This is the guy that is saying, hey, I'm the heel. I'm here. I want to be the heel. Like, come get me. Come at me. He wants the ring to have, MJF, he wants the ring to go along with it. That's dope. That's dope as fuck right now. I love it.
You made me think about something, Rob. Now, you know how they always say nobody wants to take, like you say, he wants to take the reins. But I feel like sports writers and the sports media, and even NBA fans in general, don't think he is the next guy. And they don't want to let him take it because they don't believe, even though he really wants it. There is somebody that wants it. It's just that it's not who y'all, it's not the select group that everybody thinks should have it.
It's because...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, it's because he don't have many quotables. Like, with Anthony Edwards, for example, he has, like, a lot of quotables. He has a lot of things that's been about him. Like, let's think about LeBron, for example. The biggest thing with LeBron was that he was wearing number 23. LeBron came out and he was wearing number 6 the whole entire career. We probably wouldn't give as much of a fuck about him. he idolized Michael Jordan, just like a lot of motherfuckers idolized Michael. And a lot of other motherfuckers played wore number 23. But he was the one that was King James, the heir apparent, the guy that basically is going to follow up to Black Jesus. And you had a Skip Bayless out there that took that shit and absolutely ran with it to absolute success for him and for the greater sports media landscape as a whole. But like Tyrese doesn't have that. And it's Indiana. Like, people hated Reggie Miller because he was absolutely annoying, but he was out loud and annoying. And you could also say, your sister's better than you. Like, with Tyrese Haliburton.
That's what I love about him.
And that's what I hate. But like the thing is, we come at this like very opposite ways. I'm like, man, fuck that nigga. You like, that nigga cool. And I'm like, I can't fuck with that nigga. I can't, even now, like Reggie Miller, like, man, I remember listening to him on All the Smoke not too long ago, and I was like, okay, fine. But that was a special occasion. That was only because he was there with Steven Jackson. They were talking about the Malice of the Palace. That's different. That's it. That had nothing to do else. All the other shit,
right?
Fuck Reggie Miller.
You can admit it, Rob. You coming over. You can admit it.
Coming over what? I ain't coming up. No. Fuck Reggie Miller. Shut up, Reggie Miller. I'll say this.
I understand your hatred. But then I also understand Jarvis's appreciation for this, for what he sees in Reggie Miller. Do I think that this can be a banger of a series? I'll say this. Tomorrow night, I'll tell the tale. If New York comes out there and they fight, they win, they got to take the second one, too. They have to take both of them in Indiana. I want to say it's the Field House is what it is. I think it is.
It's Hell on Wheels. Either one, whatever.
Yeah, they have to take those two games, and after they take those two games, they have to go back to New York, win in New York, and establish dominance. Yeah, it's Gainsbridge Field House. They have to establish dominance and get those three games. If they get those three games, I'll say two things. If you manage to beat the Pacers three times in a row, I think that you'll crush their confidence. I think you'll crush their confidence, and especially if one of them is a heartbreak and it's kind of close and you win, I think you crush their confidence, and then I think you close it out possibly in Indiana, full straight, and if you do that, you'll deflate them. You'll deflate them, and they'll be like, we got to try again next season. I think you'll truly hurt them if that's the case. If they manage to make it out of this, and it's a Pacers Thunder, because I don't see Minnesota making it. Like I told you earlier, Wolves are afraid of Thunder. Wolves are afraid of Thunder. They heard the great being in the sky clap his hands too hard, and everybody scattered. The Wolf Pack took off. I think that's what's happening in Minnesota. I think that may be a 4-4-1. I don't think Ant-Man maybe had one in him. He might have one in him.
Maybe if they, stop calling them Tacky Files.
It's like they go back and forth. Call them and they don't. It's weird.
So look, today on that game, this is what I say. They go into Minnesota. This is Minnesota's best chance to try to pull the momentum. But I also say this. If Shai Gilgeous, the free throw merchant, get to cooking, and he gets going down the stretch, they could go up 3-0.
Shai ain't no free throw merchant, bro. He ain't no free throw version.
I don't deny 3-0 is a heavily possibility tonight. I don't know.
If you don't think he's a free throw merchant, what is he?
He don't get as many free throws as other people. They already have the stats that say I think it was out of all the playoff competitive, over the last, in the time that he's been around, I think he's like 59th or something like that. I'm gonna pull it up. He's 59th as far as free throw attempts. Like, he doesn't get a lot of free throws. It's just that he goes in, he gets contact because of the way that he plays, but it's not like it's a free throw merchant kind of way. He just goes in and gets contact because people are fouling him. Like, people are fouling him.
I think he's been in the playoffs twice.
Three times, something like that. Let me pull it up. Let me pull up the research. But yeah, go ahead, keep talking.
He's averaging about 8 to 10 attempts a game.
That's not a lot. For a star that's basically driving, that's not a lot.
Averages ain't got nothing to do.
That's what that is. Stars get around 8 to 10.
Think about it. Why everybody want to pull up averages? So ain't nobody talking about averages. We talking about this series. What do you?
I mean, he shot 14 and 15. He didn't shot 14 and 15.
This of course, if you look at averages, he might not be high. But if we talking about this series, he getting a lot.
Hold on.
He shot 15. Oh, though, looking man. Like
you. Yeah.
Now he shot 15 free throws the other night in 14.
He's going in. He's going in. He's getting contact.
Jarvis said, "I like to make the difference on that." He's
is it contact
fouled.
Though? Is it contact?
Yes, he's getting fouled. Like, would you rather him just basically coming up and basically just pulling up every single time, or would you rather him go out and to go to the hole and get contact? Like, go but to granted, the hole, basically. Where, yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, so he can't be a free throw merchant and somebody that's doing what you would rather him do. Like, it can't be both. You basically saying he's insurance fraud, but basically he's not doing he's doing something in action that he's not supposed to do. Like somebody that's basically anchored
his
offense.
He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. I'm not saying nothing wrong with what he doing. I'm just saying the refs are a little hasty on the whistle. Some of that's he's doing a lot of flopping over there. A lot of flop. I ain't saying I'm against it. Because if I was in the NBA, as a viewer who's just watching what's going on, that's just my opinion.
I don't know, though. Well, okay. Like, I see this one right here. During 2008, during Kobe's MVP season, he had 742 free throws. And Shea's MVP season, he had 669. So Kobe had almost, 70 more free throw attempts.
Yeah.
Then basically Shay. So was Kobe a free throw merchant?
Yo, yeah.
Okay.
But also, the only reason Kobe has more is because, you know, this is more of a shoot first generation. Think about that.
How does that have anything to do with
this generation? Don't put the ball on the floor.
I was waiting for Rob to do it.
You know what? I see the floor. Go ahead.
Of course, people in that generation gonna have more free throws because they actually did basketball plays, putting the ball on the floor. You know, that's just a minor snippet. I'm not trying to turn this into
Kobe had to take the ball uphill 20 miles in the snow. That's what you basically saying. That's the difference between Shea basically getting a whole bunch of free throws and Kobe getting a whole bunch of free throws. That's what you're trying to give to me right now. Like, is that what it? Oh, because he has to basically take his nickel and basically go to the neighborhood store to basically get his free throw. That's why basically Shea, his free throw don't count as much. That's really what it is, though. That's really what it comes down to. I'm trying to get some education right here.
It might just be, you know, that I had to walk to school in snow type of situation, you know?
I remember the first time you saw snow. I was dead.
I couldn't throw on enough clothes, man.
I was like, you know, we'll one of these days we will cover the story of the first time Jarvis saw snow.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a behind Bromigos kind of pause. We'll have a behind Bromigos kind of thing. We're gonna tell a story of that. But like, I say it like this. Does he make a lot of herky jerky moves that gets him basically calls in the free throws? I'll basically say yes. I will basically say as compared to like Ant. He makes a lot more. Now, granted, Ant is still animated just like all the other players wish when they go in a hole and they don't get a call that they like. You know, I basically said, but like, yeah, Shea makes a lot of moves and it makes a lot of things that's like he'll just go and he'll, you know, do this. But sometimes he is getting hacked and he is getting fouled. And that's why I'll say I don't think it's a free throw merchant. He's basically being aggressive and getting calls, which is what you're supposed to do as the dude.
I'll say this.
I agree.
He's not as bad as James Harden. That's what I'll say. He's not as bad as James Harden.
I would say Embiid is the pinnacle. Embiid is the pinnacle. James Harden is like the disciple. And then like Shea is just like an underling. Hey, or Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a player that basically did that shit a lot too. And he don't really get called like a free throw merchant. That's what I'm like. I think that Shea, I don't think it's as bad as the way people put it. That's all really.
Yeah. But this is, in those two series, definitely, in the NBA, they're complete just, you can see possibly two sweeps. You can see some 4-1s, some 4-2s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure Minnesota has to show up tonight, and the Knicks got to show up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If Minnesota's even going to fight, they got to show up tonight and say, hey, I ain't having it. That's it. I ain't having it. Let's do this.
No, one thing. This saying might have started with the Lakers. But if the Pacers do it again, they going to really own the slogan, Pacers in five. That's what it means. They gonna steal the flow.
Yeah.
If the Pacers win this, the Pacers are going to own a part of Madison Square Garden at this point.
No. Like, this is... It's bad. It is so bad. Like,
I told you, Reggie Miller ain't even a ghost, and he haunts Madison Square. He haunts the Knicks.
He in the building. He's on commentary. Like, I know all of these games, he's right there. Tyrese pointed him out when he did the choke sign. He did the whole shit, and he pointed at Reggie.
Hey, look, James Dolan, you want to make a statement? Ask them to remove Reggie Miller from college. Tell him I'll pay his salary for tonight.
Question
for y'all. Do y'all think that he shouldn't have hit the choke sign because it wasn't a three or because they still won? Was it just
he should have did it. Regardless. He should have did it. Because he didn't know it wasn't a three until basically they went to review and saw that his toe was on the line. He said that. He said he had no clue. He said he wouldn't have done it if he knew it was a two. But I'm fine with either way. Because the one thing that somebody pointed out, I remember... I can't remember who it was, pointed it out. They lost the series. The one that Reggie Miller did the chokes on it, they lost that series. So it's like, he can do it. I don't have a problem with him doing it there. And it was justified because they did choke that game away. Knicks should have won that game. They choked that game away. And so, he was right to say it overall. It was just that he also backed it up by winning the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an extremely I choked this game away type situation, and it is so much extremely that type of situation. I was like, hey, look, you have to respect what happened, and not only do you have to respect what happened, you have to like deal with it. You have to deal with it. Matter of fact, hold up, let's see if I can pull this up real quick. Can we? Because I showed Jarvis a nice little clip, and I'm not sure if I sent it to you, Rob, that a guy recorded on, he recorded the Hydra Cam NBA thing, and it was extremely funny. He basically broke down like the last, what it was, I think the last few minutes of the game, matter of fact. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pull this up for us right now because guess what? It's a little bit of YouTube content anyway. So we can use this. I'm going to go ahead and put this up for us. Let's see.
Man, we're going to see who's on ball tonight, though. I'm ready.
This right here, I have to play this reaction. This is probably one of the funniest things I showed just to Jarvis. Let's just pay attention to this because this is like, White just so funny to me whenever I watch this. All right, peep this out. Now, I just have to pause this because that shot right there to me was the shot of it was faith. That was faith right there.
That was faith. It was up there with the Eastern Conference semis after his Raptor Sixers with Kawhi. Right, that bitch just rolled and rolled. Cause I was just like, it bounced, but I was just like, damn. Cause I remember watching it and I was just like, oh my God. I was like, that shit bounced up, man. It's gonna go right to the top. Oh shit, it went in. And I was just like, dude.
Let me tell you something.
I popped like a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble.
Yes. I almost ran out the room. I was like, oh, fuck, are you serious?
That was the beginning of the end. And I promise you, that's why that second game went like that.
I almost woke my kids up.
I promise you. Whenever it bounced, nobody thought that shit was probably going to happen. They were like, oh, that's a miss. And then that...
Well, I know my neighbors heard me because I popped. I was like, oh, shit.
That was the beginning of the end, and I hate to say it. Hey, that was Knicks fans. I feel sorry for y'all. We're going to leave y'all alone.
Yeah, my last comment. This is the first year I can remember in a long time Well, I enjoy the Eastern Conference playoffs more than the West. I feel like it had more surprises versus the West was kind of, it was good games, but it was kind of like, okay, yeah, we figured this was going to happen type of good game.
Yeah.
That's my love.
I feel sorry for y'all Knicks fans. I'm my bad. I'm sorry. Not really. As we move on from the hardwood to the baseball diamond, Rob has stuck to his, the Dodgers are the villains of the MLB. The Dodgers are
evil empire.
Yeah, they're the evil empire.
They turn it into what the Yankees was.
That's our Yankees.
I've been dark my whole life.
Dodgers beef with the Yankees? You are supporting this?
Yeah, but I like the Dodgers for who they are. Look, this is my thing. I've never cared for the Yankees just because of who the Yankees were. It's too many. I'm pretty sure a lot of MLB fans can come aboard to the ship of we don't like the Yankees, okay? And we'll be fine together. The Dodgers, I've never had a hate for the Dodgers like that. Yankees, yes. I feel like the Yankees are also some of the most inexplicable rules. Like, all y'all need to be clean shaven. Why do you want me to look like a high school child? I am a grown man playing baseball. It gets cold out here in New York. I need facial hair. Which is one reason I could have never been a Yankee.
I haven't seen my chin in 15 years.
You said what?
I said, I haven't seen my chin in 15 years.
There you go.
I don't know, but 700 million.
I would.
Look. I ain't gonna lie.
I do it at the press conference.
Look, I ain't lying.
I don't have to be on this team forever. Like, I could grow a beard right after.
Exactly.
In the offseason, I should be like all that. And then right when the first day of spring training.
Yep, shave it all off.
Nigga.
I'd be like, I'll just grow this out on the offseason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, half a year, you know.
But what I really want to talk about with the Dodgers in particular, is this experiment actually working? And I know it's not an experiment because a team that has like a $350 million payroll or whatever the fuck it is, like, it's not an experiment. This is just a fact of life. But the thing about it is, what we talked about before the season is that this has basically been the biggest villain. When we talk about the Yankees and what the mystique of the Yankees has always been, it's been the high payroll team against the little payroll teams or the smaller payroll teams. And when you have a team like the Yankees that have not only the biggest payroll, but they got the hellified farm system, they got the hellified rotation, they got three MVPs at the top of their lineup. Let me say that one more time. Three MVPs at the top of their lineup with Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. Nobody really has that. I can't think of another team that's had something like that together all at the same time with guys that are essentially in their prime, so to speak. But it's still to think of, about a week ago, the Dodgers basically got swept by the Angels. It was rivalry week. My St. Louis accent, I can't do R's like that. But like rivalry week, and they basically had three straight games where the Angels played the Dodgers. And the Angels, not a great team. Basically a team that's the most fourth seed in this AOS team you're going to basically find in the sweat. But you're going to basically see, like, they got beat. The Angels beat them. The Dodgers. The Angels were technically on the road. Beat them at Dodger Stadium three straight games. You didn't hear nary a fuck given about that series. And reason why I'm thinking, like, this experiment is not working when it comes to a team that has the highest payroll basically beating them, because when you had the Warriors basically having a 72-win team, when you had the Heat where you had Bron, Wade, and Bosch, when these teams basically had any level of strife come towards them, and when you had them getting beat by, like, lesser teams, it was news. It was a thing. But when it comes to the Dodgers getting swept by no name, but no going over Angels team, nothing. Granted, part of that is hockey playoffs is going on right now. NBA playoffs is going on right now. WNBA just started up. There's things that are going on. But when you have a team like this that has all these greats and all this great cash with them and nobody ever gives a fuck about them getting swept, like, it's kind of, it is to the point of, it's like, is this even working? Like, are we going to be talking about this team and all the strife they could be basically going through? I don't know.
And I don't know if basically people are actually going to give a fuck about this kind of team losing. And maybe it's still new. Maybe, you know, it still like has time. Like maybe they haven't gone on much of a slide and basically that's what that's needed. Like to basically get a rise out of folks. But getting swept by the Angels, the little brother Angels, that should mean something. And I guess, I don't know if it will, but it should. And we'll see if it does maybe later on in the season.
Okay, bro.
Okay. I was about to say, I had a contract.
Go ahead.
Mine is a small snippet. Nah, I like how you tried to compare the Warriors in there right now. As much hatred as I have for the Dodgers, I have to keep it real. All right. You know why I made a difference for them, that Warriors team? They did all that, and they didn't even win the ship. So, you know, that's why. Now, you know why it didn't mean nothing for the Dodgers? Because they spun that money, and they got a ship. They spun that money, and they are tied for the best win percentage, because we know the games is different, but they are tied for the best win percentage currently in the NL. So to say it's not working, they could have fooled me.
Okay.
It's working enough.
And I got to kind of agree with Vince, because they still up. We 50 games in. We still got 100.
Me off because I can't stand them. But okay.
Hey.
I mean... Yeah,
you can't be you can't be mad because your team trying to get it together. Technically, if you look at it, because I looked at it the other night, Rob's team out of all three teams, Rob's team is positive too, even, which I might win today, and you don't negative right now.
Enjoying the project,
hey, we in the process right now, man.
Project's not process. Listen.
And I have no clue why it is so hard for your Braves to get it together right now.
I don't know.
They do great at home and then lose their ass off on the river. Rob, there's no excuse. They 15-8 at home.
Which they should.
And then 9-18 at home.
They should be used to basically losing because, like, they've been home in downtown Atlanta for so long. They should be used to playing on the road. They've been playing, like, outside of really Atlanta for like the longest, so like they should be used to it, but they so putrid on the road. But Ronald Acuña Jr. did come back yesterday and he did hit a bomb yesterday on the first pitch back. Yeah. So but let's hope that that's the only bomb he hits this year. And that's to coincide with the bombing that basically the Braves are doing this year. So I mean, it all kind of, you know, was like symmetrical and all that. But let's not talk about this bullshit ass team. You're absolutely right. Like, it is still early when it comes to the Dodgers, and I mean, you know what, time gonna tell. Like if they get a losing slide, basically coming out of the All-Star break. Say they get a losing slide for September, and let's say that they don't win in October, especially because like they could very much beat any team that's out there outside of the teams that's in that division. Those are the only ones I would say have a chance to basically be one. So, and the Mets, like, Mets can do it. I don't believe in the Phillies. I hate them more than I hate the... We talked about my rankings.
I'm going to say...
I hate them.
It is. Remember the Phillies buzzsaw from last year?
Hey.
Just all remember, that buzzsaw can crank up. That's a dangerous buzzsaw over there. And that's leading Jarvis in the division, 33-18. They are killing over there
right now. They are absolutely murdering right now. But fuck them.
Look, can this work for the Dodgers? Yes, because they spent a lot of money. Is money always going to win titles? No.
Mostly.
But it depends, because it depends on how you spend your money.
You got to be in the top 10.
Good spending the money.
Yeah, you got to be in the top 10 in payroll to basically win a World Series. Like the last kajillion World Series winners, basically, they were in the top 10 in payroll. Like, you got to basically be there, or you got to be like near there to kind of be in the World Series. Like, you got to spend. The people that basically win, they spend. Just what it is.
Spin the wind, baby. Spin the wind. And I just want to throw this one out there, yeah. You know Detroit is putting on this good fraud for us, Gator. Whenever we went in on this shit last year, right?
Yeah.
And they 33-19.
Yeah. They just took 2 out of 3 against us like a minute ago. Like, they're good. They seem like a little fool's gold because they just basically rotate motherfuckers in and out.
Like, they use, like, I think they said, like, they got, like, one, like, the big, like, the either the most collection of lineups in the MLB, like, as far as, like, how, who they've trotted out there. I know, like, yeah, they don't have a number, I mean, they don't have a big number one, like, in their lineup. Like, their rotation, yeah, Scooba is phenomenal.
Yeah, Scooba is there.
That motherfucker's a damn near unhittable. But, like, everybody else is, like, they might be a very beatable team. They just hot as fuck right now.
We might have to talk about them later and see if they're actually real gold or if they're some of that good old pyrite. Because they fooled us last year, Rob. They made a play. We was like, Detroit might make a run. And then they were like, out in the first round.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like they just hyped us up for no reason. They were like, we got y'all. And then they were like, I lied. I told y'all it was 24-karat gold. I mean, 24-karat gold plated. Just on the outside.
Right.
It's more like brass.
That, yeah. But right now, they cooking them. They are cooking. I give them that. Now, from the baseball diamond to the squared circle, we got to talk our Hearst. One of Rob's favorite cities. My second home. One of the places Jarvis loved to go as a Louisiana native. BWE. You heard us.
Mm-hmm.
We were geared up. Me and Jarvis were making plans. Got WrestleMania next year, dog. We gotta get ready, get the hotel, and blah, blah, blah.
It was in the works.
We already had it in the works. And then you snatched it from up under our feet. You told us, hey, WrestleMania, back to Vegas again. And we were like, what? What? Why Vegas? And they were like, back to Vegas again. You took it from under New Orleans, and it hurts so much because I feel like y'all trying to fool me. Yes, y'all giving me Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier, who he's Lafayette's on, for the BMF title on July, I want to say that's 19th, and then you're supposed to be bringing in Money in the Bank and some other stuff. I don't want that. Well, I ain't going to say I don't want it, but I feel hurt. But you fool, because I was gearing up. I was like, dog, WrestleMania, me and Jarvis had already been talking about it, bro. We either going to have the Airbnb or find a hotel, see what we can do, and then we're going to get the tickets. We got to be cost-effective and everything. And we were ready.
Decided which exact event we was going to go to.
Yes, we were thinking events we were going to go to, all this. And then y'all told us no. I understand the final words of it with everyone saying that it's going to be a multi-event deal with New Orleans, but I can't get behind it. I just can't get behind it. WrestleMania is an event where we felt like this as wrestling fans. Me and Jarvis were ready because it's in our home state. It's right here. It's driving distance. We don't have to fly. We take out the actual flying travel part of this. Cool. Triple H makes the announcement on Twitter with his good old thing, and I probably know they had a teleprompter in his cards of the OKH. Cool. I ain't got no beef with you. Okay. But New Orleans is New Orleans' greatest sports commission. Are going to have the July 19th event, which is going to be UFC. Then they supposed to bring Money in the Bank next year and supposedly other UFC and PBR events in the future to New Orleans. Depending upon what these events are, and I'm not against Money in the Bank. I'm not saying we can't do Money in the Bank, but what I am saying is this. WrestleMania is the night of the immortals, okay? It's the night of all nights. It's the biggest event in wrestling history every year. It's supposed to be a night where we can go two nights, because it's two nights now. We can go two nights and catch some of the best wrestling matchups and endings of stories at that time. And now I feel like you just ripped that from up under me and told me, if you want this, you're going to have to go to Vegas.
I was looking forward to recreating 2018.
There you go.
It would have been epic.
You heard us with that one. I know, I understand it's a business move, but I feel like you guys only made this move to try to milk more money out of people. That's it. In Vegas, with what I've read now, where for this year, Vegas gave $5 million and then gave another $4.2 million in taxes to WWE to get WrestleMania there. Are y'all greasing the wheels again? Was this another greasing of the wheels to make them come back because y'all were willing to give them $9.2 million about coming here and hey, host it back here. But then I've also saw where Vegas is in talks of they want to host other big events, Final Four. They want to do, they say Final Four, college football, and something else, I think. Which, I'm not too sure about that. Who really wants to go to, the college football or Final Four in Vegas?
They're pricing out the regular folks. They're pricing out the people who truly enjoy the event. You know, when they bring it to Vegas, it's because they know they go raise the price and attract the richer crowds to pay that price. But what you're essentially doing is you pricing out the average fan who's actually going to participate in the event. You know, it's going to be a bunch of dead crowds when you got all these just rich people going in there, because that's essentially who you're selling to in Vegas. So, you know, you're going to have to pipe in crowd noise, because you ain't going to have no real.
What do you think, bro? But what do you think about this move?
Yeah, I'm not for it. I mean, like, we talked about it before the show. Like, I've been to Vegas a few times. I don't care for it. Like, I know everybody sees it as a destination spot. Like, I couldn't give a fuck less about it. I love, like Nate said, I love New Orleans. I love New Orleans so, so much. Like, it is my favorite city. Like, it is, like, the city I love to go to. And to move it out of there just because, I mean, Poirier basically going back to New Orleans, that's not a reason to move WrestleMania out there. Like, it's not. I don't see it. I don't understand it. It's just one of those, like, yeah. And then moving back to Vegas back-to-back years, it's like, who gonna want to go back to Vegas? Granted, I know a lot of people love Vegas and everything like that. It's just, you already did the casino shit. You already did the golden shit. You already, like, what's the next thing that you basically can have out there? Like, you gonna basically have the next same set? Like, is it all gonna be in the same spot? Like, it's just gonna be like
what else they missing, right? But I feel like a WrestleMania 34, to me, had one of the top two stages in WrestleMania. I feel like you take away the ability to create another magnificent New Orleans themed state.
Yeah.
That's what you remind me.
Yeah, like this is going to be the first time what WrestleMania has gone from the same spot since WrestleMania 4 and 5, like Trump, the Trump Hotel and everything like that. Like, I don't think it's necessary to do shit like that, but this is them. I'm just not really fit with it. I'm not really for it. Yeah, they can keep it.
And as of 4 hours ago, I just want to quote Jonathan Coachman, former WWE employee, saying this: TKO does it again, looking to collect every last dime that they can get their hands on. They will even back out of an announcement of their biggest event due to a bigger check being put on the table. Can you imagine the NFL announcing the Super Bowl and saying sorry to San Diego, we will give the Pro Bowl and a Super Bowl to be named later? It's one head scratch move after another that comes back to money being at the heart of every single decision. As a guy who worked for WWE, and he said that he's being vocal about this, and I agree with him. This is a money move. This is a money move, and I don't like the money move, because Rob said, if you've done the casino thing, you could have did the Banging Bayou WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had multiple themes in New Orleans, and this could have been great for the city. It could have been great for the city, but now you took something that could have been great for the city, and now you decided to move it to Vegas. And I'm gonna be honest with you guys, have you guys watched any event that's been at the Sphere?
I've
personally, no,
in the pictures,
yeah, but I haven't watched.
Okay, so I'll say this: the Sphere looks what it is, me being a technological guy, from a technology standpoint, the Sphere is awesome. Now I'm gonna take my tech hat off, I'm gonna put my consumer hat on. From a consumer standpoint, the Sphere can only host so much, okay? So it'll never host a wrestling event. It won't host a wrestling event. Doesn't have enough room, okay? So now you go into another venue. Well, they probably try to host something that you never know, maybe. Because they did a UFC. They did do the UFC thing. It was cool. Whenever I watched it, it was very cool. Very cool. Can't lie. It was a very cool experience. Even just watching, I was like, okay, that's fire, okay? You can't hold a wrestling event in there, especially WrestleMania. Can't do it. To me now, if you moving wrestling to Vegas, and this is one other thing that I thought about. if they're moving wrestling to Vegas, how much are they going to buy in on this? I don't know if you guys knew that you can do this, but you actually can gamble on what happens in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There is a prediction. There is a prediction website that you can actually go gamble what happens in wrestling. I'm wondering how much are they going to push that in Vegas? Mm-hmm. And then I'm still fully in with Coachman. That is a money thing. Vegas is giving them money. Vegas is going to give these other people money to try to pull these events in. I want to go to Vegas for Super Bowl. I want to go to Vegas for, look, four-hour flight. Yeah, cool, but now you need flight. I need a hotel. I had to pay for whatever venue and then all of this other stuff.
I'm probably parking.
Yeah, well, I ain't gonna park nothing. I'm a Uber. That shit gonna be high because everybody's gonna be in demand. So now I have to try to get as close to here as possible so I can try to avoid Uber calls. It's you're inconveniencing the regular person. You're inconveniencing the regular person. I don't like it. I watched the YouTube with Troy Danzig. Troy Danzig, he did the ultimate VIP experience and he spent $38,000 on the WrestleMania just passed. I want you to think about $38,000. There's people who don't earn $38,000.
That is fucking
wild. There's people who don't earn $38,000 in a year. And he spent that on doing WrestleMania this year.
I was tripping over almost 2 cents.
But they're making the money move. And I'm very against this. Here. But I'm gonna leave you guys to your riches of WWE, and hopefully maybe they come back to their senses. Now, NFL. You know we gotta give y'all a little bit of NFL talk. So Rob had the question. Well, Rob is gonna have this as a poll question. Are you okay with your stars playing flag football in the Olympics? And my answer is, if we're gonna get this gold medal, hell yeah, baby. I know. I sound very selfish, but I feel like I don't have to take maybe the best of the best. I could maybe get away with the second, third string quarterback, go out here and win. Because that guy, the last time, he was extremely confident that he could be like a Patrick Mahomes, even though I know if he really thought that, I'm going to be like, come on, just don't do that.
He might be right, though, because like, who among us has watched professional flag football?
Watched it like a couple times.
But like, it's the thing of like, it's like the whole 3-on-3 shit. Like, I think you can basically have like NBA players and you can have 3-on-3 players and think like, okay, this is a whole different game. Cause like, one is half court, one is this. They have their little things, so idiosyncrasies that make it to where that's that sport. And he might be like, hey, in my discipline, what I do and what I'm prepared for, you don't know that. You're like, oh, football is a football. As flag football, yeah, it's a different kind of mindset you got to have. It's a different kind of game. It's a different kind of, so they be like dragging their little legs and shit like that. Not little legs, they grown people. But like, yeah, like it's a different game. And we don't need Justin Jefferson. We don't need Patrick Mahomes. We don't need Jalen Hurts to be doing this shit, dog. Like, we don't need the stars.
But I can send Justin Fields, though.
But we don't. But I'd rather see Justin Fields play for the Jets.
I
want
to go out there and stomp a mud hole in their ass.
We don't need to. Like, we don't get an extra goal for mud holes. Like, dog. Like, we don't need. I'd rather have a healthy Justin Fields play for the Jets and have his black ass go out there and go to L.A. and basically play in flag football. Because it's not necessary. But it's not necessary. You could turn ACL. Like, we have plenty of non-contact injuries that's going to put your ass out. So, like, what's the point of basically having him play a game that ain't going to matter as much? Like, we don't care about flag football. We ain't going to watch flag. If they basically said flag football will come on NBC tomorrow, I bet you it's not going to outrate a practice of a Saints practice. Like,
are we having NFL flag football?
But did y'all watch the NFL flag football game the Pro Bowl?
I didn't watch the Pro Bowl because of what it was supposed to be, okay?
But that's what it is. That's a flag football game with NFL players. We don't even give a fuck about that. I would rather not. Robert Edwards, that's the name that basically we got to keep talking about and keep thinking about, because Robert Edwards had a great campaign in 1999. Y'all don't even think about that name, do you? He had a great campaign in 1999. He was he played for the Patriots, had a great season, went to the Pro Bowl, went to Hawaii, basically played in a flag football game that they had right there on the beach. tore all his knee, ACL, PCL, MCL. Basically, his career was done.
On the beach.
But that could happen on the turf. We already, like, they play on turf. They ain't playing on grass. And they already talk about how the turf can basically catch up with the cleats and basically can basically, for the ligament injuries, basically fuck your whole thing up. So, like, do we want to risk these stars to play and get hurt in a game that we really don't give a fuck about? In a game that is really more overkill. That's where I'm basically like, hey, if I'm an NFL owner, Justin Jefferson, go out there, go practice. Not flag football, but in the game I pay you for. I'd be the most, you're going to have, like, I ain't going to even make the example. I will basically be whatever caricature of, like, the racist owner. I'll just even say it. I'll be basically like, no, nigga. You going to basically go out there and play my game. I am not letting you play flag football.
Okay, so how about this? Compromise. Work with me now.
Trying to make a deal.
For it.
What if I get some college players?
I wouldn't even do college players because I don't need no stars. No stars to basically play in this. Anybody that's going to make my sports money. No. Look, I'll say it like this. Because when they announced the shit, my first thing was, if they basically like, hey, the 53rd member of the team, of the NFL's roster, wants to go out there, cool. But you, if you a pro bowler, if you a motherfucker that's like out there, no, you're not playing in this game. I don't care what you're talking about. I don't care what you think you're going to do. A lot of these motherfuckers don't even want to play in the pro bowl game that they actually do pay for you motherfuckers to play. You are not going to go to the Olympics and basically play this fucking game. This makes no sense. It doesn't basically drive anything to the NFL. We're not going to really expand. It doesn't make any lick of sense for an NFL star to basically go out there just to go out there for a gold medal. I understand the reasoning. I understand what they want. I understand the aspirations. But the game, it's a focus. The game that basically people come out for the stars. Because we don't love football. We love the NFL. We love NFL. We love college. We love stars. We don't love UFL season going on right now. You don't hear a motherfucker talking about them. And that's football.
Hell no.
That's right. Football with performer NFL players.
I struggle to even watch San Antonio games.
Exactly. Like, I've been slacking on watching my Battle Hawks. But the fact of the matter is, we don't love football. We love stars within the NFL and within college. We don't love football. It's been shown. Like, you can't have spring football, and everybody rails against spring football because we don't love football like that. We love the NFL. We love the creme de la creme of football. And so if we basically send our folks out there, and these motherfuckers tearing ACL, or an Achilles, is something where they can't play NFL football, that's the worst thing you're going to basically happen. The second that happens, you're going to basically have fucking flag football get thrown out just because. We don't need it. It's completely unnecessary, dog.
This is my take on it. I say, this is why I'm no. As much as I want to see our stars go out there, I don't think you can compare this to 3-on-3 because I feel like we lose 3-on-3 basketball because we don't have any real players out there, because they're still basketball. 3-on-3, 5-on-5 is still a game of basketball. But when you switch up to flag football, like, just because you play in the NFL, professional flag football is a whole different technique. And I don't want our players to go out there, home turf, first year, and end up like the fucking 2004 basketball and every team third place. We cannot let that happen.
I get you. I understand that. And if they do, and I'll you know what? We'll put it on wax right here. If we basically have that happen, 2028, we go out there, we get third, we get the bronze medal, we can have a redeemed team that's going to have, I don't even know who's going to be 2032 stars. But, like, we'll have, you know, whoever's out there, there's 2032 NFL stars on that team. I'd be fine with that. So we can get the goal.
We can't let the NFL team know take third. So that's why I'm skeptical. Yeah. Like, just because you can play contact NFL, don't mean you can succeed in the techniques of flag football.
Right, right. Oh, it's a whole different mindset. So this is what I'm going to say. Go ahead.
This is what I'm going to say. This is why I believe NFL players could succeed out here. Mm-hmm. NFL flag football is 7-on-7 drills, okay?
Okay.
That's what this is. It's high skill players. That's it. versus other skilled players. I grant him, I'm running in them, but you can get a quarterback who can run. It ain't none of them out there on that flag football view that can throw the ball as accurately as like a Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to be honest with you. If I had my way and I knew that these guys would be covered in their injury guarantees, I'd do it one time just to watch us go how many other games undefeated. And then, I don't know, us win like 80 to a little bit of nothing, like every game.
Look,
I'd love to see these boys go drop 100.
Guess we got Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and somebody else, and we running four verticals the whole time, and they just bombing it out.
Oh, we could, but we can get away with that. Who is keeping up with that on the other side of the ball?
Yeah. I mean, they not.
They put any other fourth man, just them three. Just run vertical the whole time.
Yeah.
All Pedro from Portugal is not catching Justin Jefferson, okay?
Yes. Yes. That all is absolutely correct. I can't even fight that. He's not catching you.
Hell, they're going to see what y'all going to do. We're going to run verticals the entire football time. Are they going to stop us? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to burn.
Pray for rain, nigga.
That's it.
Injuries, and I don't want to be embarrassed for NFL players getting third place. It's too embarrassing.
What I was saying it to your point, the whole third place thing. I'm like, if we basically the dude that was saying he was better than Patrick Mahomes, if he and his crew basically lose. And get the bronze. Then I'm like, okay, we need a redeem team. Go ahead, put some NFL players in there.
Yeah, we need to get the NFL version of Kobe to go bring it on.
Exactly. We need that LeBron. They need that young LeBron. Need that young D-Wade. Yeah. Need like those guys out there to basically go ahead redeem this country and basically take what's ours. Like that's where I'm like, okay, I'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with the stars going out there.
You gotta be careful because we can't take an L on the first year home field.
LA, yeah, I understand. Now that from that standpoint, I understand.
And let me tell you something: we lose, we go out there.
So you say 7-7. So how many? What they putting out there? A quarterback? What? Three wide receivers.
Quarterback, two to three receivers. And a running back, and then you got like light blockers in front. That's it. We could literally go, Josh Jacobs in the backfield. Give me Jamar, Justin, and if I gotta have a third receiver, CD or somebody at them.
All right, you don't want injuries. How about we use the two linemen that just retired? Zach Martin.
I use Zach Martin.
And put Jason Kelsey. That's our two blockers.
All they got to do is block. That's it.
Zach Martin, Jason Kelsey. That's two blockers.
They body block sometimes. That's it.
I bet T.O. would go out there and steal balls. Put T.O. out there.
He probably would.
Yeah. T.O. Yeah, see, T.O. damn near 50 what? Like, he probably is. Like, T.O. might be like 50 years old and still be like the most athletic.
Who I see work out all the time?
T.O.'s 51.
Chad Johnson and Dez Bryant. I bet you they go get the ship for us.
Nah, because then we're going to have, now I think there's Dez Carter going to be an international incident. I don't think we need that. I'm just speaking truth.
I'll say this. I think if the NFL did allow us to have flag football players, we could play college kids and we probably win. We can probably get away with college kids, man. Like I told you, Pedro from Portugal ain't catching nobody, man. The only thing he might have is foot speed. The best thing that I think that they could do is they gonna say football and they gonna bring out a soccer ball and we gonna have on cleats and gloves to catch and we gonna be like, ain't kicking no balls today, you gonna have to catch this.
Realistically, what country do you think would be to have the chance to keep up with?
I don't know, Spain. I honestly don't know. I haven't
looked into that.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know who else plays flag football. Like, who else would qualify? Like, that's what I said, Spain. I don't know.
I don't know if they still play football in Canada, Canadian leagues. I don't.
I mean, because it don't seem like it's an athleticism thing specifically. It's a can you go get the flag? Can you compete? You know, like, it's not a, you know, you need like a 4.3 40 kind of thing. It's just like, can you go out there and run routes? Can you do that little like lunge kind of shit to go low and so they don't get your flag? Like, can you do that shit and not pop your Achilles and shit?
True. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. I don't think that there's one team out there. I don't think that there's a country. They go out there and compete with us. If we decide to play flag football, we are going to smoke them. Mm-hmm. Not only are we going to smoke them, look. Canada, I wish you would say y'all stand a chance around here. And I'm gonna tell you that that goddamn Canadian bacon is ham. Okay? That's all it is ham. And just like it's ham, you're not beating us. Cause we about to go ham. Hard as a mother. And we gonna win. And y'all ain't beating us at all. Just look. FL, PFL, see you later from the NFL. We going out there and win every flag football game. Oh, I'm man. Coming up. Don't win it today. I don't even care.
Nate has like 200% confidence in us, dog.
Easy work. This ain't us picking UFC fighters. Because I'll tell you this. If we was picking UFC fighters, we might be in trouble. Our best out is Jon Jones, Brock Lesnar, and a few other guys. If we had to pick UFC fighters. Because they're going to whip our ass whenever we get to that middleweight.
Oh, yeah.
That middleweight and lightweight division, they're going to whip our ass.
Oh, yeah. UFC, yeah, we in trouble.
What about? Actually, we ain't losing. Hell, they getting close in basketball, but they still not able. To be honest, once you split up the foreign people, and it goes to show this, you have a few great people from foreign countries here and there. It's a bunch of hoopers from the United States. That's American boy. It's just that simple. The only thing I don't think we didn't won like that is the baseball classic. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't won an MVP. We still haven't won an MVP since 2018. The NBA so, MVP.
NBA, well, yeah, but you got one dude that's, if his team can beat our team.
I mean, yeah. Like, we haven't had a single, like, the free throw merchant that you was talking about earlier is the last nigga.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
No, the last American-born free throw merchant that basically, he's the last MVP that we've had, James Harden.
Yeah, James Harden.
Like, we haven't birthed a motherfucker that basically has won an MVP in the last 8 years.
Oh, it could have been Zion, but he can't lead these.
These is correct. Like, these hoes, these fools, all this shit.
From what I see, I think Brunson might be the next American MVP.
Nah, he ain't gonna get it.
No?
That's a bold claim. I don't see it.
I don't see it. What American?
Tyrese?
American?
Not Tyrese.
I'll say this. If his team can win, it's gonna be a Tyrese. Maxie.
No.
Maxie can who?
I honestly think it's gonna be Anthony Edwards. He has the people. He has the team. He has the cachet. I think he's the next American MVP.
So I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you why it's gonna be. I could name all my candidates. You're right with Ant-Man. I'd say Ant-Man. Maybe Halliburton, but Halliburton doesn't perform consistently enough during the season.
Right.
It's his problem. So it would have to be Ant-Man. Booker would have to find himself. He would have to come back. He would have to really make a run at it and lock in. Then I could say American-wise, like I said, Maxie. But Maxie's thing is going to be his team winning. That's going to be the issue.
Don't forget Paul George still there.
I'm not even going to talk about him.
What do I have to remember about him? That he's around? Right, he's sitting in the room
with
you? I know
how we think about Paul, but let's be real.
You mean regular season urine?
When he decides to come back, they're going to try to make him the number one.
When he decides to come back, he's going to go out for 20 games and basically going to get nullified for the MVP.
You know they're going to do it. They're going to try to make him number one.
I didn't make him number one.
To tell stories? Like, what are they going to do?
Watch. I'm telling y'all.
They're going to basically violate HIPAA and give us his medical records, and we're going to see how this nigga just keep getting hurt. Like, what are they gonna do? What?
The number one in Philly is either gonna be Embiid or Maxie. Paul George is not. He's matter of fact, he's Nightwing. That's who he is. If he's not the Batman of the family, he's Nightwing.
No, because people like Nightwing. No, Nightwing can't but be Nightwing, dependable sometimes. Like,
yeah, but Nightwing disappears and go do other shit another season, and we don't hear from him at times. That's Paul George being injured. We don't see him half the season. He gone.
He's doing underground podcasts. Like, what are we doing? Like,
he played exactly 41 games. That's half the season on the nose.
This is why I don't think it's going to be Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Because Julius Randle, the way he's playing too, I feel like they're a two-man combo. It's not coming off. The way that the team played, they play through both of them, and I feel like that's going to take away from Ant-Man basically shining as the MVP because Randle pretty much holds a big weight of the offense too.
I thought you was going to say Randle is going to be fucking up. Then basically he's going to be getting in the way of Ant-Man with it. I was like, that seems more plausible than
he's getting in the way because he performs well to where Ant-Man doesn't really outshine to say, oh, I'm MVP. No, their team is good because they both can score and he just doesn't outshine Randle enough for me to say, oh, he's going to be an MVP king. That's my opinion on how it looks.
Mm.
27.6 points a game says something different. I think that he outshines him enough to be MVP. It's two things going to matter for us to have an American MVP. Our American is going to have to play like James Harden did if he's not going to do it another way. He's going to have to go out there, average 30. He's going to have another category that he's high in, probably assists if it's a point guard, or he's going to have to be decent in assists and rebounds and play good defense. James Harden did it as an offensive juggernaut. Mm. He was just that, but he had a number one seeded team and everything else. He was that dude.
They're going to have to be a top three seeded team. So.
But, and that's what I'm saying. It had to be Ant-Man. It would have to be Booker if he could get his shit together. Tyrese isn't the legit superstar just yet because, like I said, in the regular season, he suffers. He showed up for the playoffs. Mm. In the regular season, he suffers. There's no consistency over there.
Mm.
And the reason I picked Tyrese Maxey for Philly is because he's the one dude that has co-stars that if they're healthy, they could legit be up there and he could literally be the centerpiece. And I know people are saying, well, Embiid had this, Embiid had that. Look, Embiid, if in order for his knees to function and not give out on him like two picks trying to hold up an elephant, he's going to have to figure out a different way to play. Okay? And the first thing I think Embiid is going to have to do is lose weight. His body ain't made for it. The reason Shaq got away with that shit for so many years is because Shaq's freaking body was made for that weight.
Yep.
Something is wrong with Embiid's knees.
Embiid doesn't look like he got too much weight on. He don't look like it though. We could tell when Shaq got real fat. We could tell when Zion got fat. Yeah. No, but Embiid just doesn't. His body don't look like it's too much weight. It look proportionate, I guess you'd say.
But his knees ain't like Megan's though. His knees is not like Megan's. Megan's knees have never given out on her. His knees give out every season. His knees give out every season.
That's true. I mean, it's true. He's right.
His knees give out on the regular, dog. He could never talk shit to me. Because if he said, oh, I'll whoop your ass, and I'd be like, in your career and kick you in the knees. What you gonna do? That would be how our conversation would go back and forth. Right. I'm 7 feet tall, but you 4'10" whenever your knee's not there, okay? So what are you gonna do? He's gonna have to A, lose weight, I think, and B, he's gonna have to give up most of the load of scoring to Tyrese Maxey. Or he's gonna have to legit get on the block, take baskets in half court, and try to defend the rim and not put that much on himself because he has to do something. This is ridiculous for how his knees give out. It's nothing else.
I kind of feel like once they give you them kind of problems, I always notice it's hard to come back.
Maybe he'll get it together. I have little faith in his knees. I'm so sorry, and I know somebody's going to point this out in the comment section. I am sorry that we disrespected Jason Tatum and did not throw his name out there as a possible MVP. Tatum would be the other person. Tatum would be the other person.
So I don't like the noise from Rod.
Well, no, because I mean, look, I am this podcast St. Louis representative. I have to basically be objective in my words, though. He just busted his Achilles. We have no clue how he's gonna turn back. Like, we don't know how he's gonna turn out. We don't know what's gonna basically happen with him as he comes back. That's where I'm like, before I'm with you, and I'd probably say he's the first people, like, outside of Ant, that basically he would be the one to do it. But like, we don't know how he's gonna come back from that Achilles. And I think once we see like how he's gonna come back, then we'll basically be able to be like, okay, yeah, we'll be fine. But we don't know yet.
I think he should, because of modern medicine, I think he'll recover fine. He's 27. He won't be 28 till next year. I think he'll recover fine. He's still gonna have the upside. He just needs to take it slow. He's not like Kyrie. If this becomes like an overwhelming thing, like it is for Kyrie, needs Achilles, then I'd be a little afraid, you know. Like I said, Kyrie is the perfect example to owning a Ferrari. Whenever that mug is working, oh, it works. It do 0 to 60, 3.5 seconds. It did hit the brakes. It hit all the turns and everything. Whenever it breaks, it's down for a while. That's how Kyrie is. I don't think Tatum is going to be that guy. As of right now, this is just one Achilles. But what my fear of it was that it was a non-contact injury. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see these guys with non-contact injuries, mm-hmm. I'd be like, that's the, it kind of scares me, because there wasn't a boom, a bam, a crash, something to tell me, okay, this is why this happened. Scrambling for a loose ball, pop, oh. Mm-hmm. I'm a little afraid by that. Do I think he's going to recover fine? Yes. Do I think that Boston team is going to be somewhat? The regular season for them is going to tell whether or not Jaylen Brown is worth $300 million. Whenever this season is over, whenever next season comes up, we're going to be able to justify whether or not Jaylen Brown $300 million contract was worth. If they come out there and they're not top three in the East, I'm going to be like, trade him. Mm-hmm. I think you can win with a Tatum. I don't know about him.
They just showed
it. That's just my opinion. Look, that ass whooping that they took at the end, that wasn't no light whooping right there.
I know. I mean, to say they was missing just Tatum, that was too big of a blowout. To say you had Jaylen Brown and the way Derrick White stepped up, that shouldn't have been no.
This is what I say. And then I'm gonna take us out. I'm looking at the scorecard. You had 3 people in double digits the night that Boston lost. One of them was Peyton Pritchard. One of them was Jaylen Brown. One of them was Al Horford. That's it. And Jaylen Brown took 20 shots to get 20 points. Mm-hmm. That alone tells me a lot.
Yeah.
But that's just us here at Brum Eagles Podcast. It's just us. Oh, and just to prove my point about Josh Hart, 10 points that night. That's it. 10 points. And they won by like damn point. Yeah. Just think about that. That's what he gets you. But that's been us here, Brum Eagles Podcast. You know where we are. Rob, we always say it catches up. Look, you can look up in the sky, probably catch us flying by. Blue Sky, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, we're everywhere. Shorts, full videos. We have hours of entertainment for you to go through, okay? On our facts and opinions of different things and things that we've said, some of the craziest and some of the most hilarious things. You guys should give us a like, follow, all of that good stuff. Remember, it's all free. Don't cost you a dime. Go ahead, hit that little button. Just hit that little button. Support a brother. Support a brother. Anything you guys want to say before we get about it?
Jarvis, you go first.
Nothing. Just check out Saturday Night Main Event. If you are a wrestling fan, that should be good. Or check out Game 3. You know, it's a lot of action going on tonight. And, you know, hey, I will be off next week. I'm going to miss you guys, you know. And I'll take a week break. I have another event to get to. You know, I might pop in. I might send you guys a little video or something. But hey, that's all I got.
Be a satellite.
Be a satellite. Be a satellite. And then you got to say, Rob.
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. As y'all already know, Northside St. Louis got absolutely devastated by tornado EF.
3 tornado. Like, a lot of my childhood basically got fucked up by a tornado. I told people all my life, like, it's never been a St. Louis. It's never been a tornado to hit St. Louis. Yeah, we in Tornado Alley, but, like, it's never been in the city where a lot of, like, up and down Kings Highway basically got devastated, and down St. Louis Avenue got devastated, up and down, like, all the north side, like, trees uprooted. Like, these trees have been there forever. I remember, like, being as a kid, like, going to a lot of these places and seeing, like, all these different things. I'm like, dog, I didn't know this was possible. Like, St. Louis looks like a war zone. So if you have money, if you have anything, if you know somebody in the area, please go ahead, help them, check up on them, see how they're doing. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people that got devastated by this storm, lost a lot of property and lost a lot of things. Yeah. So if you can give to any kind of charities, look up and down Facebook, see who basically is available as far as needing supplies and need anything. But yeah, no, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. So just do what you can to help. That's all I got. All
right. Well, with that, we're out of here. Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bromigos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.